This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. A landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
You're like, let's record. And I'm like, ba-dum-bam-bam-bam-bam.
Would you like me to move my mic around the whole time? I think that's great. I love that. It just adds a layer of, you know, behind the scenes.
Real
We're
women.
We're raw. We're real.
We're real.
We're editing all of this out. hi, you're listening.
Hi.
Not you.
Sorry.
Can you shut the
Should I leave? You Do you want to just talk to them?
Okay. Actually, could you go? Don't worry about it. From the top.
Jesus. Here we go.
Hi, you're
Hello.
Listening. Okay.
Fuck. I keep thinking you're talking to me.
Robin, for future reference, I'm literally never talking to you. We're not
this
even friends.
So
you just keep showing up here. It's
embarrassing. Oh my God.
Skip, we're getting all the fun out of the way early.
Great.
Good. Okay. Hello, welcome to Frisky History.
Hi. Yes.
Did it before you had a chance. You're listening to Frisky History, the mess of a podcast where myself, Lacey.
Robin, me.
Robin. Her, Robin. Where we get together and we just gab about... reproductive history and all the terrible things that happen throughout it.
Yep.
And that's what
like
we're here
no
to do.
No limit. There
tonight.
Is no.
There is not.
No end in sight.
Here's the thing about tonight. I'm going to go ahead and say.
Yeah.
Trigger warning every time now. That's just the standard.
Yeah.
For the rest of time, basically. So.
Mm-hmm.
A little trigger warning on tonight's episode, today's episode, tomorrow's episode.
Whenever it's coming at you.
This episode contains information about racism, violence against people of color, against women, against people living with disabilities, reproductive violence. I think that covers it all. It's a tough episode, so if you have a hard time listening to those topics... we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for just a flawless opening. Glad you got that in. Glad you were here for it.
Yeah. Hope you got your giggles out because it sounds like there won't be much to come.
We're going to Giggle Town tonight.
Oh my God.
No.
No.
We're going to feel real bad. Okay. Are you excited?
Yo. Can't wait.
You're going to stop coming over when I invite you
I think
from
so.
One?
I think this is over.
Yeah, I get it. But one more thing, though, I got to tell you. It's fine. It's only 19 pages long, so that's not even a big deal.
Just real quick, yeah.
Quick note.
Sure.
You ready?
I guess so.
All right, I'm going to take a big drink.
Yes.
Here we go. In the fall of 1932, flyers appeared around Macon County, Alabama, reading, free blood test, free treatment by county health department and government doctors. You may feel well and still have bad blood. Come and bring your family.
Oh boy.
What followed was an unethical, abusive, pretty fucking horrifying 40-year experiment run by the U.S. Public Health Service on black men in Alabama living with syphilis.
Yes.
We're talking about the Tuskegee study.
Yeah.
And among many other things tonight.
Okay. Yes. I have heard about this. I listened to a podcast about this. It is fucking insane. Okay. Let's dive right in.
The study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male, more commonly called the Tuskegee study, recruited 600 black men for medical experimentation at the encouragement of local leaders, church leaders, and medical professionals. The participants were primarily sharecroppers, and a lot of them had never visited a doctor before. 399 of these men were diagnosed with syphilis, and 201 did not have syphilis, and they were selected to act as the control group in the experiment. Its purpose was to observe the effects of syphilis when left untreated. But first, let's talk syphilis real quick.
Yes.
So, syphilis is a common bacterial infection. In 2019, there were almost 130,000 cases in the U.S. So, it gets around.
Sure.
Generally, it spread through sex, but it can also be transmitted to a baby during pregnancy or birth. The signs of syphilis vary because they appear within four stages. There's primary, secondary, latent, and tertiary. The primary stage is typically one or more sores on the genitals. Sometimes they're referred to as syphilis sores. They're usually painless, or always painless, but they're super contagious, and it can be really easy to miss them or just mistake them for like an ingrown hair or like a pimple. The second stage includes rashes on the palms of your hands, the soles of your feet. But again, it can be hard to see them. And you can also feel mild flu-like symptoms, like a fever, tiredness, sore throat, muscle aches. And you might get sores in the mouth, vagina, or anus, as well as lose weight or lose your hair.
Yeah, wow. I should know this. I didn't realize it, like, ravaged the body like this.
Yeah. But, this isn't even the late stage. Those are the early stages, which is...
Okay, yes. Okay, well, I don't know anything.
That's okay. You know, I thought that I did invite you to that seminar on syphilis, and you didn't come.
I know.
I bet you wish you did.
I do wish I did, because then I wouldn't be sounding like this.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I knew this. Why are you saying this?
Yeah, I knew all of this. Why are you even telling
me? You're treating
me
like an idiot.
Okay, so those are just the first two stages. Those are the early stages of syphilis. So
Yes. Between
these stages and the late stage, a syphilis infection can basically just go... The symptoms go dormant. So you can have no signs, no symptoms at all. It can last for months. It can last for years. But you still have syphilis. And then there's the tertiary or late stage of syphilis. And this is when it's very bad. So this can cause tumors, blindness, paralysis, neurological problems, heart problems. It can damage your nervous system, your brain, and other organs. And it can kill you.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and as scary as syphilis sounds, it is really easy to cure in the early stages, which is, you know, just PSA, why it is super important to get tested, you know, routinely if you're having sex with people, if you're having, you know, sex with multiple partners, if you're having sex at all or whatever. If you're doing anything, if you're alive, go get tested regularly for STIs, because if you know that you have it, it can be treated and it's no problem. But later... You can still cure syphilis, but there is no way to undo or heal any of the damage that late-stage syphilis caused. So you will be left with that, and that will not get better.
Right.
The main treatment for syphilis is penicillin. And penicillin was discovered in 1928, 4 years before the Tuskegee study. Although when the study began, treatment for syphilis was... They weren't using penicillin, and what they were using was not very effective and dangerous, even fatal. However, penicillin became the main treatment for syphilis in 1943, 11 years after the experiment began, 29 years before it ended.
Wow.
So there was a treatment for syphilis proven widespread, 29 years they had to continue to choose. You know, we haven't totally gotten there, but basically they choose not to give it to them. Spoilers. I'm getting there. Sorry. I know we both know. So, you know, it's whatever. It's so just... sometimes something said that penicillin became the main treatment for syphilis in 1945. But same difference. 1943, 1945, whatever. Too fucking long.
Truly.
Left on the experiment to not be using it. The Public Health Service knew that penicillin could treat syphilis because they created rapid treatment centers to help men with syphilis. except for the men in the Tuskegee study.
Wow.
The flyers that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the flyers for the Tuskegee study promised a special treatment for bad blood. In reality, it was researchers, officials, medical providers lying to patients, refusing to treat them for a life-threatening infection, and in some cases, actively denying them treatment.
Hmm. So, sorry. So those flyers, were they basically like, come get a blood test, and then they would see who has, basically has syphilis, not tell them, and just, you know, put them in as a part of this experiment, just basically, kind of unknowingly. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
The flyers also promised a treatment.
Right.
A special treatment for bad blood, which I'll talk about a little bit later about what, like, what that was referring to at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it promised treatment. And it also, the experiment offered some other things. Meals, free meals, free medical and mental health care, free burial insurance.
Yeah.
So it's like an appealing study to someone who's being promised a treatment who has probably never seen a doctor.
Yeah.
Who maybe doesn't feel well, maybe feels fine, but still, like, you know, I mean, they're sharecroppers, most of them, so that's hard labor. I mean, you know, they're just trying to be healthy, get healthier, get care, and this study seems like a good opportunity to do that if they were telling the truth.
Yes.
So those conducting this experiment never obtained informed consent from the participants because the men were never told what the true nature of the experiment was.
Right.
So like I said, they were offered these meals, they were offered this medical care, burial insurance, which kind of also feels like a red flag maybe? A bummer. I don't know. I mean, you're offering to take care of me and help me get healthier, and then you're like, but also we'll bury you later. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. That one just for me, I was like, weird to group those together. But they were never given a true explanation that let them know that they were signing up to basically be human test subjects in research that was solely based on withholding medical treatment that they desperately needed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did the men with syphilis have no idea that they weren't being treated, but like you said, they did not know that they had it. They did not tell them when they tested positive for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the like idea of them offering free medical care as a part of this while actively like not treating them for something that they know is slowly killing them is just extra disgusting. Like just it's extra, like extra
fucking evil. Yeah.
So the Public Health Service researchers convinced local physicians in Macon County to treat, to not treat the participants. So they convinced local doctors to not provide them with treatment, which is like, there's that, you don't, that's maybe wild. You say no to that, doctors.
Oh my God.
And they were essentially tasked with just following these men around until death. There was even, like personal story from this. It's a woman named Eunice Rivers, I guess. I don't know why I said it that way. Eunice Rivers was a local nurse recruited by doctors. And on one occasion, she followed a man to a private doctor just to make sure that he didn't receive treatment.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Like he was going out of his way to try to get like to get outside help of this and she went there just to make sure he did not get it.
That's so fucking scary. That's really fucking scary. So these like the initial flyers, I'm sorry if you already said this, but were the flyers initially like provided for like marginalized communities or were they, was it just like everyone everywhere, come get your blood? Sorry, where was it done?
No, it Macon County, Tuskegee, Alabama.
Right, okay.
Which is in Macon County. I think it was targeting, one, I think it was, specifically it was targeting African Americans.
Right.
And I'm sure that it was targeting people living in poverty. Right. I mean, or Black people living in poverty. I mean, it's, there's no way that they got, that they chose 600 people if they weren't actively targeting those people and asking for exactly those people.
Right, okay.
Throughout the experiment, researchers gave the participants placebos, ineffective methods, and diagnostic procedures as a treatment for quote-unquote bad blood. Mm. And that's all the men were told, that they had bad blood.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And at the time, this was a common term that was used for a variety of conditions, like fatigue, anemia, and syphilis.
I mean,
the rain. And they just labeled it as that. But it was known, bad blood, was known as the leading cause of death among Southern black men.
Yeah.
The researchers also believe that the effects of syphilis depended on race. And they reasoned that they were not harming the men in the study because they were unlikely to ever receive treatment.
Wow.
So you have the capability to provide treatment to people, but you're saying we're not going to purposely, and that's not a bad thing because if we weren't here not providing it to them, they wouldn't have gotten it anyways.
That's wild.
It's double the effort. The thing that you're saying, like,
to find all these people, test them, and then actively you're following them to like a private doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, that's, yeah, fuck that. Fuck that reasoning. Fuck all of it. But, yeah. You know, it's just, they're trying to spin it. So it's like, oh, well, you know, we were just doing what we were told. Oh, it's not like we were actively, like, you're sitting there and you're being complacent while you're watching someone die. That's, you're while killing you them. Have the means, yeah, you have, exactly.
To help them, and you're choosing not to for the sake of experimenting on a human being and calling it medical research.
How do you, like, yeah, how do you just straight up lie to their faces?
Yeah.
And watch them get worse and worse. And
yeah. And according to the researchers, this was supposed to last for 6 months. In studies like this, from what I read, like, this was like kind of an established structure. Subjects would be studied for 6 to 8 months and then they would be treated with contemporary methods.
Yeah.
As previously stated, the Tuskegee study lasted 40 years.
Yes.
40 years of no treatment and withholding treatment that existed from them.
Oh my God.
The researchers just left them to suffer decade after decade just to track the disease's progress.
Yeah.
They watched the men as they went blind or insane or experienced other severe health problems due to their untreated syphilis. They watched the men pass the infections on to their wives and children. They watched the infection ravage the men, and they watched as more than 100 of the men died.
Wow.
Also, they could examine the bodies afterwards.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So the Tuskegee study became the example of, like, fucked up, abhorrent, like, or as an article put it, poor medical ethics.
Sure.
I elaborated earlier. Poor medical ethics. This was the example of that.
Yeah.
And the study didn't even end with the public health service and all its researchers being like, oh my fucking God, like, what's wrong with us? What have we done? We're monsters.
Yeah.
How can we ever make this right? It was whistleblowers.
Mm-hmm.
It began with several men employed by the public health service expressing criticism on the study on the grounds of immortality.
Oh boy.
Immorality. immorality and poor scientific practice. Then an associate professor at the Medical College of Virginia in Richmond, Court Gibson was his name, he expressed ethical concerns to the Public Health Service in 1955. They were all ignored.
Wow.
A young Chicago doctor, Erwin Schatz, read an article about the study in a medical journal in 1965, and he wrote a letter directly to the study's authors confronting them about their unethical practice. He was ignored. They basically just threw it away. Finally, a public health service investigator named Peter Buxton wrote the director of the U.S. Division of Venereal Diseases about the ethics of the experiments in 1966, only to be ignored. So So he leaked the information to an Associated Press reporter.
Good. Fuck him up.
On July 26, 1972, the story appeared on the front page of the New York Times, and the unethical study finally ended. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In the following years, there were congressional hearings concerning the experiment. Class action lawsuit was filed on behalf of the men, which ended with a $10 million out-of-court settlement and a lifetime of medical benefits and burial services to all living participants.
Wow.
Modern medical ethics were developed, and there were major changes in our laws and regulations, like the National Research Act, which prevented the exploitation of human subjects by researchers, but the damage was done.
Mm-hmm.
The experiment ruined the lives of the black men who were tricked into it, and many in their family. By the end of the study in 1972, 74 of the men were still alive. 28 Jeez. Had died of syphilis, 100 died of related complications, 40 wives contracted syphilis, and 19 children were born with it.
Wow. It's also, like, that's so fucking recent.
Yeah.
And the fact that it would not have ended if it didn't get leaked to the press.
Right.
Because it's that thing of, like, well, we're not actively doing anything. It's like they're just they're, like, actively pretending to treat these people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but it's also like, yeah, it's just people are blaming, like, pointing the finger at someone else and being like, well, they're doing it. Well, it's part of a study. Well, whatever. I'm not a part of it. And it's just like, yeah, put it on the front cover of the New York Times. And then they're like, oh my God, so sorry. We fucked up for 40 years. It's just like out of control.
Yes, and the damage of the Tuskegee study extends all through black culture today. Like, it's the Tuskegee study, among other medical failings, has seeded mistrust in the medical system for many black Americans, and for good reason, that's still a thing today.
Yes.
Black patients are far less likely to have a common positive healthcare experience. They are less likely to trust their physicians or the medical system as a whole. They're more likely to believe medical conspiracies. And it all stems from America's long history, and still present, medical exploitation of black people.
Yes.
So we're gonna just get through a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
Related to this. Okay. It is wild. I thought I knew, I like had some that I knew about, and I was like, yeah, this will be a good thing to have all. And then it was just like rabbit hole after rabbit hole of something new that I'm just cannot, I don't there's even so understand. There's so much. So, yes. So using and abusing people of color in the name of medicine has always been a part of American history.
Yes.
We covered one such story in episode 5 when we talked about the birth of modern gynecology, which was built on the bodies and pain of enslaved black women.
Yes.
So I'm going to skip that, the details on that. If you're interested and you haven't heard, go check out episode 5. Sorry for the sound quality.
Oh, God.
It's not good.
Oh, no.
I listened to it to make sure it was like talking about the things that I didn't need to put in here, and it does not sound very good. Sorry. We were new. We didn't know.
Now we sound great.
I know. It's just crisp and clear and great. No mess ups. Oh, no coughing God. On mic. It's great. Okay. So, yes. So, skipping that, going straight into the American eugenics movement.
Okay. Woo-hoo. Oh, boy.
This is going to be probably the longest section because it's just the biggest section. From the late 1800s to the 1940s, eugenics has been a pseudoscience used to commit bigoted, destructive reproductive crimes against women in poverty, women living with disabilities, and women of color. For anyone who doesn't know, America went for the negative version of eugenics, which is, okay, and just to be clear, I'm not saying that there is a good and bad eugenics. I'm saying there are two types of eugenics. One is known as negative, one is known as positive eugenics.
Got it.
America went with negative eugenics.
Okay.
Our eugenics movement was an attempt to eliminate or breed out undesirable traits and create a society of superior genetic makeup. Mm-hmm. Which essentially meant deeming those who were white of higher economic status and healthy as being superior,
right.
And reducing the population of anyone who was not white, who was lower economic status, who is living with a physical or mental disabilities. If you had impaired hearing or sight, or you had a disease, or you had genetic defects, hard quotes on that one, like being a criminal. Or being promiscuous, or sexually deviant, or being an unmarried mother.
Oh, my God.
Also, being dependent on alcohol, or being socially dependent, or having a low IQ, or behaving abnormally.
What are the qualifications?
That's basically everything. That's all of us. That's pretty much all the rest of us.
Damn.
Basically, it's anyone and everyone that did not fit their white supremacist, racist, classist, ableist agenda. So one way to reduce these undesirable quotes, and also there's a lot of quotations in here. I'm not going to call them out because I would do it every 5 seconds. Yeah. Just know if I say something that sounds absolutely fucking terrible, there were quotations around it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So one way to reduce these undesirable traits was birth control.
Okay.
Leading the part of that movement was Margaret Sanger, who was very public about her desire to prevent breeding of the unfit, stating that birth control is a way to prevent the defectives from producing offspring.
Okay, well.
Okay, so while we love and support Planned Parenthood today for all it offers, she was a fucking monster. No one's debating it.
Yes.
She fucking sucks.
Yes.
She was terrible. She's a bad person.
Absolutely.
Nobody thinks she was a good person in this room.
That's right. Did we do an episode on her?
Or well, she might have been mentioned. Well, we've done one on birth control, so she might be in that one.
That because I think I remember us talking about her briefly, but yes, she is a monster. Guess.
She's a monster. Another attempt at this was forced sterilization. And when I say forced, I mean people being sterilized unknowingly or against their will.
Yes.
Without their consent. I mean being sterilized during a C-section or appendectomy and never being told about it.
Yeah.
I mean threats of denying your child health care unless you agree to get sterilized. Or threats to terminate your welfare benefits if you don't consent to it.
Wow.
I mean receiving unnecessary hysterectomies at teaching hospitals so that medical students can practice.
Oh my fucking God. Oh my God. Ooh. Yeah. I have heard about, like, I listened to an episode of Criminal recently that was like a mother without her daughter knowing. She thought her daughter was like really ugly and stupid. So she was like, she's going to get a hysterectomy and she's not going to know about it, basically. And the whole podcast was about that. And it's like, holy fucking shit. You can just like take your daughter to the doctor and be like, yeah, go on in. It's just a regular routine.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't care what a parent asks for. Like there should be a line where a doctor's like, we will not. I mean, there are tattoo artists that are like, I'm not going to do that tattoo because it's going to age bad.
Yeah.
And you're telling me a doctor can't be like, I'm not going to take your daughter's uterus out.
Yeah, I mean, this was, like, in the 1900s sometime. It was forever ago, but it was still, that shit happened. Like, it was, like, normal. It's very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, no control over your own body.
Yeah, and I think that, like, sometimes we try to position these moments in our history, or present, as something that exists in only, like, small, radical groups, like, mm-hmm. the fringes of society, but that is inaccurate. This was widely accepted in American society.
Yes.
It started with marriage laws, actually. In 1896, Connecticut made it illegal for people with epilepsy or who were, I'm going to say quotes on this one, mm-hmm. feeble-minded to get married. And the majority of states followed. 29 states outlawed marriage for people living with mental or physical disabilities as well as mixed-race couples. 33 states allowed forced sterilization and anyone lawmakers deemed unworthy to procreate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And state-ordered sterilizations happened often. 32 states had federally funded sterilization programs and eugenic boards. So, like, the majority of America.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, not Florida. I looked at a map.
Huh.
Florida had no laws.
Sure. It's still
surely. Why? I mean, now, now it's the other way. Florida had no laws for pro-sterilization, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Washington State did.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, shocked, but it's, wow. I didn't realize it was so widely accepted and enforced.
Super widely. Like it was normal. It was like our society. That was just what it was. In 1903, the American Breeders Association
Okay, what?
Was created to study eugenics. Prominent citizens, scientists, and political figures established the Eugenics Record Office, which tracked families and their genetic traits.
Oh my God.
And what do you know? The people that they considered to be unfit were immigrants, minorities, and everyone who was poor. Mm. By 1909, California was leading eugenics in America. Over a 70-year period, California alone committed a third of all government-funded sterilizations in this country.
Shit.
That's around 20,000 non-consensual sterilizations committed under the guise of protecting society.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was always more women than men. Women were the ones who were deemed immoral and unfit for motherhood.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It also largely targeted Latino people, Asian people, and Black people.
Yeah.
In 1911, none other than John Harvey Kellogg, episode 60.
Oh, shit.
Fucking Mr. Kellogg.
Of course he pops up.
Of course
here.
He's here.
What the fuck?
He founded the Race Betterment Foundation and established a pedigree registry. We might have talked about that. I didn't go back and listen to that one, but I know we were having a good time with the whole masturbation thing during that episode, so I'm not sure how much we got into his eugenics. Could be.
Probably
not totally
not
sure.
Lot.
But yeah. In 1927, the Supreme Court ruled 8-1 that forced sterilization was not a violation of the U.S. Constitution and that it was federally legal.
It's amazing how they make the Constitution say anything they want.
That's absolutely, it's amazing, isn't it? Truly. Just anything you want. It's whatever you need it for, it's there.
Twist it around and...
Yep. Almost entirely agreed on that fact.
But then, you know, vaccine mandates are an infringement of your constitutional right. I don't really quite...
Don't know.
So sorry.
I don't understand that.
Wow.
The case,
Sorry. Had to get that out.
Yeah, sometimes you got
that. That is really, yeah.
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The case.
Sorry, you were saying
it, something. Yes, I was. This Supreme Court case, Buck v. Bell, surrounded a woman of lower economic status, Carrie Buck, who said that she was raped by a rich young man. And instead of helping her, they saw that her mother had been involuntarily institutionalized for being, again, feeble-minded and promiscuous.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she was assumed to have inherited those traits, and she was deemed feeble-minded and sterilized against her will.
Holy shit.
Sterilized against her will.
Oh my God, dude. Like, just the...
Like, she... Can you imagine?
The amount of fucking trauma...
Being raped and then being violated again.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like you have no say over your body.
No.
That's so
it's like truly no
terrifying.
No autonomy at all over it. Oh yes, here. Ha, forgot. In the words of Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes,
Great guy.
This is gonna be good based on that name.
Fucking Jesus.
It is better for all the world if instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit for continuing their kind. And also, he said, 3 generations of imbeciles are enough.
Holy shit.
Yep.
I hope he died so bad.
I hope he died too. Very painfully.
So
awfully.
So bad.
Yeah.
How do you fucking just say shit? It's just like, it just blows my mind how like blatant all this shit was and how they're not even like trying to hide it.
Nope. There is no shame.
It's just like, no,
they
this is the right
about,
way.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why you're upset. Mm. It blows my mind. It's, yeah. Okay.
America's eugenic laws and practices in the 20th century also influenced the National Socialist Compulsory Sterilization Program, which led to 350,000 sterilizations between 1934 and 1945, and was a stepping stone to the Holocaust.
Wow. Yeah. Checks out. Mm-hmm.
The American eugenics movement was a source of inspiration for Hitler's sterilizations in Nazi Germany, as is evident by this quote from Hitler. There is today one state in which at least weak beings toward a better conception of civilization are noticeable. Of course, it is not our model German Republic, but the United States.
Okay.
That's from Hitler.
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
It is. About our, yes.
He's like, that's
the way to do it.
Inspo.
Yep.
What the fucking hell? Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know me being like shocked by this is also offensive because it's a very privileged stance for me to be like, what? Like, I knew about eugenics and I knew that, like, obviously the US has a really fucked up past with like medical care and what, or lack thereof. So it's, but it's just like, just how obvious and blatant it all is. It's just like,
yeah, we'll talk about it a little more, it's, but it is true. Like, we don't, we don't teach this part of America.
Well, exactly.
History. We choose.
We have to dig to it up.
Admit it. Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Oh my God. Yeah, it's, yeah, that's fucking insane. We learn all about the Holocaust, but all there's no mention of like,
that we inspired.
Oh, Hitler just like thought of this. No, like it's inspired by something that was enormous in our country that we just bury deep down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my fucking God.
Even after the world learned about the horrors of the Nazi sterilization program, forced sterilizations in America did not stop.
Okay. Yes.
Good. In the 1960s, black women were disproportionately subjected to reproductive abuse in southern states that used sterilization as population control. Black women made up 25% of the population, but they were 65% of all sterilizations in women.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's, yeah.
And it was so common that it actually had a nickname, the Mississippi appendectomy.
Jesus.
Yeah. A third of the sterilizations were done on girls under 18 and went as young as 9.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There is a well-known case, you know, in what way it can be well-known in the way that we don't teach it or talk about it. It's called, the case is known as Ralph V. Weinberger. Ralph V. Weinberger. God, it's like I know I can see it, but my mouth doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Ralph V. Weinberger. Got it. I'll get it. This centered around Mary Alice and Minnie Ralph, sisters from Alabama who were sterilized at the ages of 14 and 12. Their mother, who could not read, signed a piece of paper under the assumption that she was giving them permission to put her daughters on birth control.
Wow.
In 1974, the Southern Poverty Law Center filed a lawsuit on behalf of the Ralph sisters, and they revealed that 100,000 to 150,000 poor people were being sterilized each year under federally funded programs.
Jesus.
Yeah. The Family Planning Service and Population Research Act of 1970 allowed the Nixon administration to widely offer sterilization to low-income Americans, basically all women of color, only to later realize that doctors weren't following informed consent protocols.
Okay.
Okay. Surprise that the medical field is continuing the same behaviors of not being clear about what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And putting people in a position where it's like proper consent cannot be given.
Yes.
At all. So
when you don't have the information, when you don't know what's happening.
Yep. When you're being coerced into it.
Being lied to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1973 to 1976, the U.S. government forced thousands of indigenous women to be sterilized. And it was later discovered that the Indian Health Service had singled out full-blooded indigenous women for sterilization procedures and estimated that as many as 25 to 50% of indigenous women had been sterilized without their consent throughout the 70s. Like, wow. That's like 25 to 50% period yes. of indigenous women period. You know what else happened in 1973? When that started? Roe v. Wade.
Wow.
Yeah. A decision that was meant to protect the reproductive rights and keep people safe happened while thousands of indigenous women were being forcibly sterilized.
Yeah. That's very much like, look at what's happening over here, so you don't pay attention yeah. to...
And the things that matter to us are white women, feminism.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Who did Roe v. Wade protect exactly?
Exactly.
Not the thousands of indigenous women who were being forcibly sterilized. And like you said, like, this is the American history that we should be taught. This racist, classist, ableist, sexist history. This is what we should be learning. Yes. During the 20th century, up to 70,000 Americans were forcibly sterilized. But really, that was black women, Latina women, and indigenous women who were being specifically targeted.
Yeah.
And that's just eugenics. And yes. that's not even all of eugenics. I mean, that's just a piece of eugenics that I could yes. fix and fit into this episode. But, we have a very long storied history of doing terrible things, and no one teaches it.
Mm-hmm.
We only teach the whitewashed things that we want people yeah. to, like, that make us look good and make us look powerful and make us look like the greatest country in the world.
Of course. And I just don't remember there ever being a moment in any of my history classes where I remember thinking, like, oh, our country was in the wrong here because of the way it's framed and because mm-hmm. of the way it's told. And it's just, it is really fucking important. And, it's in the title of this podcast, so I should probably be a little bit better at it.
Well, that's what, I mean, if we, that's what we're here for. If we knew it all, then there would be no podcast. We gotta be stupid to keep this going.
Perfect. I'm qualified.
Yes, you've got the job. yes, so moving away from eugenics into something else. So cervical cancer, you've heard of it, yes?
Sure. Yeah.
Who hasn't? Yeah. Everyone with a cervix / everyone without a cervix probably has heard of cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. But what we don't ever talk about is one of the biggest reasons that it went from being the leading cause of death with people... The leading cause of death in people with cervixes to being one of the rarest causes of death is because of a black woman named Henrietta Lacks.
Yes. Have you read that book?
I have never read the book.
Okay. Me
have
neither.
You read the book? Oh. No, but I did put the name of it in here, and it seems like a very interesting read because it seems... I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, Henrietta Lacks, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer at 31 years old at a time when the illness was an illness of secrecy, shame, and dread because of its associations with sex, promiscuity, and poverty. Lacks got the standard treatment at the time, but without her knowledge or consent, the surgeon took a sample of her tumor for research. And it's just like, even that, if you just asked...
I was going to say, like, why...
Like,
just
why?
Just say something.
Like, that just seems like something that someone probably wouldn't say no to unless it was, like, super invasive. But if it's not, like, why not even just ask? Like, no, it's just like, we don't give a fuck if you want me to do this or not, I'm doing it.
I'm not going to take the risk in you saying no.
I don't really care what you think or feel.
I have the power here over your fucking body.
Yes.
That's terrifying. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
So her cells, those cells that they took, thrived in the lab and became the famous HeLa line of cells, the world's first immortal human cells, and they transformed mm-hmm. medical research. Mm-hmm. Up to that point, scientists had been trying to keep human cells alive in culture for decades, but they all eventually died, except for hers.
Mm.
While her cells progressed history, she died painfully a few months later, leaving behind 5 children who were also used in research without their consent in the 70s. And their medical records were released to the press and published without their permission. Just as just a little side note of
Jesus.
Yeah. Today, thanks to HERCELLS, we have the vaccine against HPV, the leading cause of cervical cancer. Mm. HERCELLS have been to space to see what would happen to human cells in zero gravity. They have helped with some of the most important advances in medicine, like the polio vaccine, chemotherapy, cloning, gene mapping, and in vitro fertilization, and for drugs that and drugs for treating herpes, leukemia, influenza, hemophilia, and Parkinson's disease.
Damn.
But for so long, like, just nobody cared who she was.
No. Of course.
She was a fucking miracle.
Yeah.
A medical miracle. And nobody cared.
And she has no idea
who she was.
And she died a painful death. And her family was mistreated and exploited. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the person who wrote the book that you were asking about, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, she, like... I was reading an article where she talks about why she did this, and she was like in a class where they explained they were talking about these cells, and the teacher wrote her name, Henrietta Lacks, on a board. And then the woman was like, "Who is she?" And his only answer was, "She was a black woman," and he didn't know anything else about her.
Wow.
So she was like, "Well, I'm okay. Who
we should know? Her
was she? What was
story,
she
yeah.
like? What was her life? Does she have children? Where are they? Or like what?
Yeah.
I want to know about her." And like it was like nobody,
no one even cared.
No one cared. No one cared to ever know anything about her.
Wow.
Yes, and if you think that treating non-white patients unethically in the name of medicine stops at our borders, I got news.
Yes,
it does not.
Oh.
It doesn't.
Mm.
It doesn't. What do you know? In the 1940s, the U.S. government conducted medical experiments in Guatemala where doctors infected soldiers, prisoners, and mental patients with syphilis and other STIs. By the way, it was led by a federal doctor who helped conduct the Tuskegee study.
I mean, so this is them just actively, like, giving them these infections.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in this experiment, 1,500 men and women were unwittingly used to determine the effectiveness of penicillin. So this was
oh
an
God.
Experiment made to give them syphilis and then treat it to see how it worked.
Oh my God.
So you may be wondering, how did they infect them in the first place?
Mm.
Let me tell you about it.
Oh my God.
They were brought sex workers who were either already infected or purposefully infected by doctors who put infectious material on their services before they had sex.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah. It gets a little worse.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay. A lot of the men weren't getting infected with syphilis. So they were like, okay, how about this one? Let's pour syphilis bacteria into the men's penises and on their forearms and on their faces where they have cuts and scratches.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And also through spinal punctures.
Oh my God.
They were just like, can I pour the syphilis on you? Can I pour the syphilis all over you, sir?
Oh,
but also
God.
Probably not actually like that. I don't know what they told these people. I don't know.
Yeah, like how
I don't know
that?
how they explained
what
this.
They were doing.
I
yeah.
mean, it's like they're using prisoners as part of this. So it's like maybe this is a you don't need to know. You're just doing what we're telling you because you're a prisoner. And that means
right.
you're not a
we
person
don't know
anymore.
You. Yeah.
To us.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
Yes. And while the goal of this experiment was to treat syphilis, it's not totally clear what exactly happened. Like, it was really hard to figure out.
Mm.
Some people are just like, it's not clear what happened. Others, this is something I found that I was confused by all of it, so I don't know. But I found some information saying 443 subjects developed syphilis and 332 received treatment, but only 85 were documented as receiving the full treatment. And 71 people died during the study.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I didn't totally understand. But you know what? The thing about it is that it's still fucking horrifying whether we know what the outcome was or not. Because what the fuck? Like.
Well, yeah. It should never have happened in the first place. Obviously.
Obviously. Next. On to the next one. Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Not only were over a third of all Puerto Rican women sterilized during the U.S. colonization, when, that was also, government officials claimed that Puerto Rico's economy would benefit from a reduced population. They were like, there's too many of us and we don't have that many jobs. We should take your ability to conceive a child forever away from you.
Wow.
Yep.
What an interesting solution.
Mm. I feel like you didn't put too much thought into that, because I feel like there were other ways to fix such a problem of not having enough jobs. I don't feel like that was the thing we needed to go straight to. But that's not even what I'm. That was just an extra little thing for you. That was a little fun tip. You can keep that for free.
Will do.
Forever.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Forever.
Okay.
In the 1950s. The U.S. government launched a large-scale human trial of the birth control pill within a public housing project in Puerto Rico. So this is one where they are targeting specifically low-income women.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Just that's it. Like this, that's who they want to give this to. Mm. At the time, we did not really know shit about the side effects of the drug that they were testing, this birth control drug, which I don't think I wrote the name of down. I forgot. We had mainly been testing it on rats and rabbits in America.
Okay.
Then it comes time to test it on humans, and we're like, well, not here. We go to Puerto Rico, and we give it to 1,500 women living in poverty. And then at that time, birth control was given in a much higher dose than it's given today.
Wow.
Yes. Over the trial, three women died.
Oh, my God.
But there were no autopsies, so there's, like, no way to confirm if it was connected to the study.
Wow.
That's all I could find on that.
Yeah. It's just blatant disregard for these lives.
Mm-hmm. Some of the women experienced dizziness and nausea, and at one point, they were still receiving this particular drug for testing even after it was released in the United States, and the FDA was beginning to be informed that 26 American women had reported suffering from blood clots. Six of them died. So as we start to pull it from the shelves in America, because six women have died and 26 are like, I've got blood clots from this, we're still chilling it out in Puerto Rico to learn about it. We're still giving it to those women.
Yeah.
So maybe you're thinking at this point, it was a different time, the 70s, when our parents were alive at that point in time.
Yes.
But no, sir. No, sir.
Okay.
Today, Puerto Rican women have one of the highest documented rates of sterilization in the world. Two-thirds are sterilized before the age of 30.
Wow.
Yes. In our criminal justice system today, forced sterilization happens in exchange for a reduced sentence.
That is...
Yes. Yes, it is. Between 2006 and 2010, almost 150 women were coerced into being sterilized in California prisons without the state's approval.
What the fuck?
Because they were labeled as likely to return to prison.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, just like, Jesus.
And for that to be the reason that we're going to forcibly sterilize you is because it seems like... I just get this feeling that you're probably going to be back in jail. So how about we take away your ability to have a kid at all and add to the population? And there are probably another 100 cases probably taking place between 1997 and 2010.
Yeah.
One former inmate said that she resisted their pressure while she was under sedation and strapped to an operating table.
Oh my God.
Yes.
What a fucking nightmare.
Yes.
It does. It's like they still have this mindset of like, oh, you're less than everybody else, and we don't want you to reproduce. Therefore, if you get sterilized, you can get out of here sooner.
Yeah. And this idea that crime and poverty are genetically somehow passed down and not a system that looks at itself and says, why are we shoving so much of our population into poverty?
Yes.
Into lives where they have to commit crime.
Yeah, they're born.
We don't look at ourselves and say, where have we gone wrong that we're creating this system the systematic problem.
It's their fault.
Yes, and we do not want you to make any more of you,
yeah,
poor people and criminals.
Yeah, we're not going to look inward. No, and point the finger at you.
And the and it really comes down to money. Because amount that they have to pay a doctor to do a hysterectomy, that cost is nowhere near what it costs to, you know, fund welfare for families that need it to survive.
Right.
So it's like this is cheaper to forcibly sterilize women in prison than it is to just take care of our people, of our citizens, of our population. Yeah.
Like, this is what helps the system to keep working in this way, is to, like, take away the chance for them to ever even have a child before they even can make the decision on their own. So it's just like this, we're going to take this away from you because in the long run, it will save us money. And then the cycle continues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
and we don't have to fix anything. We don't have to do any work to undo all the things that we have done that have built a capitalist society where we are thriving and everyone else is very much not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do anything about that. We can keep getting our money. You can keep not having a child because we've taken that ability away from you forcibly. And the cycle continues.
Exactly.
So in 2009, a 21-year-old woman in West Virginia was convicted of marijuana possession. She was sterilized as part of her probation. In 2017, a Tennessee judge offered reduced jail sentences to people who volunteered to undergo sterilization. Yeah. Wow. In 2018, an Oklahoma woman convicted of cashing a counterfeit check reduced her sentence after undergoing sterilization at the suggestion of the judge.
Oh my fucking God.
Do you want to learn about what happened in 2020?
Yeah, I do.
I know.
I just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, it was like, every time I blinked, another one. I had like 20 million tabs open because it was like, here's an article where it mentions a thing in a sentence and links to the article about that thing. And I'm like, what?
It never ends.
What? In 2020.
Very much on purpose.
Very much on purpose.
Okay.
In 2020, a nurse filed a complaint from concerns about a seemingly high number of hysterectomies being performed on immigrants detained at an ICE facility located in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple women have since come forward with firsthand accounts. One former detainee had her fallopian tubes removed without her consent. Then three more came forward because they were subjected to procedures that they didn't ask for and didn't really understand at all. Then it became 17 to 18 people at minimum had unnecessary non-consensual gynecological procedures with the clear intent of sterilization. One detainee said that she asked what treatment she was receiving before, and she was given different answers by three different people: the doctor, the corrections officer, and the nurse. She was given a hysterectomy.
Oh my God.
One woman was supposed to have an ovary removed. The gynecologist accidentally removed the wrong one and then just gave her a total hysterectomy.
That's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
Some women said they were threatened with retaliation if they tried to refuse recommended procedures, even when their original health issue was not gynecological in nature at all. A 36-year-old immigrant woman from Mexico asked for help because she had pain in her rib from a fight with her abusive ex-partner. And during the medical exam, she received a vaginal exam. She was told that she had cysts on her ovaries and a surgery was scheduled to remove them. Her file also said that she complained of heavy bleeding and pelvic pain. She did not.
What the fuck?
After surgery, she woke up to find 3 incisions on her abdomen and a piece of skin missing from her genitals.
Oh my God.
In her words, I woke up, I was alone, I was in pain, and everyone spoke English, so I could not ask any questions. They have since had her files looked at. She never had any dangerous cysts. She had small cysts that are naturally occurring in most women and do not require surgery at all.
Yeah.
3 days after she was deported.
Wow.
Yep. Her story is like so many others. Women waking up from surgeries to discover that they won't be able to have kids anymore. No consent is ever given. One woman said that she woke up from a surgery chained to a hospital bed. Wow. Another woman woke up surprised to see her stomach bandaged after having surgery, and she had to write to the medical office and ask what had been done to her.
That's oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
One gynecologist who was involved in a lot of these, including the woman with the rib injury who had no reason to have surgery at all, mm-hmm. He was her doctor. He got the nickname the uterus collector.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where he is now.
I bet not in jail where yeah. he should be.
Yep.
Bet he's not. Would be willing to bet that one.
That is so fucking scary.
A clinical professor at George Washington University in the Washington, D.C. chair of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists commented on his practices and said the diagnosis and procedures are poorly supported and not well documented. Even if the patients had reported the symptoms recorded by him, there would have been many avenues to pursue before rushing to surgery. Advil for one.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And complaints about him go all the way back to 2018. A woman who was seen by him was traumatized by his rough vaginal ultrasounds, where he just completely ignored her cries of pain throughout the entire exam. She was still not the first person to complain about him.
Yeah.
Ugh. At this point, I think this is the most recent, but at least 57 women in the Georgia ICE Detention Center say that they were forced or pressured into having gynecological procedures. I mean, this is who we are. This is what we do now, then, always. So, yep. I mean, it's like truly no matter what our American exceptionalism education system has decided to teach us, like... Mm-hmm. This is a shameful part of our history that we should all acknowledge and know about.
Yep.
And take accountability for.
Yes.
And fix it if we can.
And fucking stop.
Can.
Yeah.
And stop. Fix it. I don't know. On May 16th, 1997, Bill Clinton apologized to the 8 remaining survivors of the Tuskegee study and their descendants. This is his apology, or part of it. I don't know if it's his whole one. The United States government did something that was wrong, deeply, profoundly, morally wrong. It was an outrage to our commitment to integrity and equality for all citizens. To the survivors, to the wives and family members, the children and the grandchildren, I say what you know. No power on earth can give you back the lives lost, the pain suffered, the years of eternal torment and anguish. What was done cannot be undone, but we can end the silence. We can stop turning our heads away. We can look at you in the eye and finally say on behalf of the American people, what the United States government did was shameful, and I am sorry.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. However.
What a weird, oh my God. So fucking, they're like, okay.
Yeah,
because like honestly, this is just for you.
By almost 2 decades before that apology, the public knowledge of the Tuskegee study had already reduced life expectancy among Black men over 45 by more than a year.
Wow.
Like, it's responsible for over a third of the life expectancy gap between older Black men and older white men. Once the truth finally got out, it accelerated the lack of trust in doctors and decreased the likeliness of Black men seeking out care and other health-based services, so much so that a study was done on this, and they found that outcomes, trust, and life expectancy diminished with proximity to Macon County. So it's like, thanks for an apology. I mean, I get, like, one. That's one. That's one, and also that's one of how many that are owed.
Yeah.
Like, where's are the rest of them also? Yeah. And also, what else? Like, what else are you offering here? Because
This is bullshit.
In 2004, the final study participant passed away, but the generational trauma of the Tuskegee study lives on. Mm-hmm. That is my episode.
Oh my God.
I started just doing the Tuskegee study because I wanted to do one on it. And then I was like, well, okay, I see that this, like, there was also this thing, and I know about this thing, and, like, oh, I could cover, like, some of eugenics, and then it was just, like, and then there's this, and then there's that, and then there's this, and also it's happening, and it's happened every, like, you know, basically within every decade, we just have more, and here's another one, and here's 22. I mean, I knew, obviously, a lot of these things, once I, like, once they were mentioned, I was like, that's right, yes, that did happen. I remember something about that. Like,
in 2020.
Well, yeah, the one in 2020 was absolutely horrifying. Fuck ICE. Just
absolutely.
Get that one out there. Fuck obviously. ICE. And fucking abolish ICE because fuck ICE. So, anywho, there's just, like, there's so much information out there. And if there's a part of that that was interesting to you, I promise you can find research and articles upon articles with so much more detailed information. And I'll list my sources out, at least some of the places that I got them. And if, you know, like, there's so much. There are documentaries. There are fictional TV shows. There's HBO shows. There's made-for-TV movies. I mean, there is so much stuff. And yet, nothing. And yet, there's, like, nothing really.
Nothing really is changing. No one's taking responsibility.
We're not teaching people about this. Like, honestly, like, eugenics is kind of a thing still, but we call it something else, like genetic engineering. And it's, like, positioned as, you know, we can use this to try to get rid of terrible diseases or, you know, whatever, like. I understand if there is a part of the scientific medical world where they're like, we could get rid of cancer.
Right.
We could get rid of Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at this stuff and you think.
The motivation.
What is stopping it? What is stopping it from turning back into something that's never even really gone away? Like, how do we know lines will be drawn that things will be ethical? Because behind closed doors, are they?
No.
Yeah, are they always gonna be? Like, it's based on the judgment of a person or a group of people, and, like, we don't have a great track record with that.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, like, Dr. Death, which is, like, such a famous story about this doctor who was, like, really fucked up, and everyone was, like, so shocked by it. But then you realize, oh, they keep coming out with new seasons of Dr. Death, and there are doctors who just do really fucked up things because they're power hungry or because they want to just take advantage of people who, like, or just experiment on people who, and it's terrifying. And then, so, like, those stories are, like, obviously told to be very shocking, but they shouldn't be, because look at this shit that's going on. Mm-hmm. That's normal, or quote unquote, you know, normal.
Right. I mean, like, we don't even need to have, like, a crazy story about a particular doctor, because our, like, medical students are being taught that Black people have thicker skin and they don't feel pain.
Right. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Like, we don't, like, you don't even have to find a particularly wild story, because it's all, like, insane. It's all insane, and it's all terrible and awful and awful and terrible.
Exactly. Yeah, wow. That was a lot. But it was, like, I think it's good to, like, it's good to bring it to the forefront, because it's, I mean, that's the kind of thing of, like, when that did happen in 2020, it was, like, you know, it's outrageous, and we need to keep talking about it, and we can't let this shit just go away, and we can't pretend like, oh, this is part of our past, because it still keeps fucking popping up, and it still keeps happening. We just need to hold people accountable, and I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
That's just, like, so fucking scary. Mm. That's your fucking body. And yeah, I don't know. There's nothing I can say. It's absolutely not. Horrible.
And just like every time somebody chooses to use the words, that's not who we are. That's un-American. That's not what we stand for in this country. Mm. That, like, yes, it fucking is.
Think for one
second.
That
is who we are. This is who we are.
Yeah.
This is it. This is, we need to come to terms with that fact. We need to stop fucking trying to pretend like we're all just good people trying, and it's just a couple bad eggs, and we're all, mm-hmm. we just need, if we could all just be nice to one another mm-hmm. and come together, it would be fine, because that's the American way. Like, no, it's fucking not. The American way is exploitation mm-hmm. and
dehumanizing people who are already put at a disadvantage, and just letting that cycle rage on.
That is my episode this week. Hope you, I don't feel that enjoyed is the right word. Hope that
learned
you
a lot.
Learned.
Definitely learned.
Hope that
a
you
lot.
Hadn't heard of all of those things.
I didn't. Good. Can't say I'm like, you know, glad.
Uh-huh. But also
I'm grateful to have learned
there
about
we go.
It.
That's a good.
It is very important to know this shit and to remember this shit and to carry it with you.
Okay, so that was that.
Okay.
I have a misconnection.
You do?
It is a wholesome misconnection.
Oh, good.
It brought me some small little piece of joy.
Good.
Today when I found it. I'm happy to share this misconnection today because I think it's just it's a little wholesome piece of internet information.
That's exactly what we use misconnections for.
That's it.
And we're moving into the misconnection segment.
Misconnection.
We got a misconnection for you, and we do the misconnection.
Oh.
Here she goes.
I'm going to go first. Here it is.
Yes, you are.
Here, you ready?
I'm ready.
My misconnection is entitled, We Live Together.
Oh, no.
I keep passing you on the way to the fridge. I'm sure you've noticed me. I think you're looking at me out of the corner of your eye when I get in and out of the bed we share. I waved at you several times over the weekend as we were sitting down to meals. At breakfast this morning, you ate the oatmeal I made, but didn't seem to notice my gesticulating. I know it's unlikely you'll see this, but if you do and something clicks, get back to me. Location is my apartment. Misconnection.
That's adorable.
It's not just cute.
I love
Look
that.
At you, you cute little pieces of shit. Get out of here. You're
stupid
adorable.
Idiot. Shut up. Oh my God.
I hope
God.
that person saw that and that they got a good laugh out of it.
I know. What a wonderful little.
What a cute little funny thing.
That's so stupid. I love it. Aw. Well, mine isn't. Mine's wholesome in a different way, I think.
Oh boy, okay.
I think it's just someone looking for a good time.
Okay.
This one's called Let's Move to Alaska, and Alaska is in all caps.
Did you write this?
I know.
Are you reading your own misconnection right now? Are you inviting me to Alaska? Girl, I can't do it. It's too cold.
One day. Well, I don't know, actually, because then we realized, I mean, there are days where it is 24 hours of darkness.
Darkness. Yeah. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen 30 Days of Night?
No.
Unrelated. Such a good movie.
Ooh.
Don't at me if you don't like it. It's Josh Hartnett.
Okay.
Okay. 30 Days of Night is a great movie. So fun. Horror movie. Didn't mean to interrupt your misconnection or your story about Alaska, but I am going to tell you about it real fast. It's Alaska. It's 30
at
Days
night.
Of Night. There's a thing
you
happening.
Do the math.
it's like a scary movie, but it's not that scary.
Okay.
It's so fun.
Spooky.
I love it.
That sounds great. I really
Watch
like
it.
That.
I
will.
I think it's on something.
Okay.
It's out there.
So funny.
Okay, sorry. And that's my review of 30 Days of Night.
Yes.
During misconnections.
Great.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, rethinking our own move to Alaska. We'll see. Maybe one day. But this is Let's Move to Alaska, Man for Woman. I am a fifth. Okay. Also, no punctuation throughout this entire thing.
Love that. So I love a run-on sentence. I relate to it. That's how I talk also.
Yes. I'm going to try to stay true to that form.
Just no breaths, deep breath, and go.
I am a 55-year-old man, or should I say young guy. I am looking for a wonderful woman to move to Alaska with me and live off the land. Let's make our own reality show. Come join me in the wilderness. Hopefully you're into freaky sex. Call if you're interested. Also, must love children. Come on, girl, let's do this. Call your future hubby. Think about it. Wouldn't Alaska be awesome? We build it. We build it. All on our own, we fuck our brains out and have a blast, and maybe some children will come out of the situation. It's nice to dream, you never know. What hat God has in store to my future sweetheart, dial that number. The
okay,
end. I couldn't stop.
Obviously, because I had a lot of questions, but I couldn't stop what you were doing because you were on a roll and it was poetry. If I'm being honest,
it was.
Okay,
the bullet points.
the I won't lie. When there was a slight pause when you're like, hopefully some children will come out, and then I was like. Of the woods,
of where?
Like hopefully you'll stumble across some forest children. What are you talking about? And then, but then you continued, and right. I understand now that he is saying he's looking for a wonderful woman.
Yes,
and that he's interested in starting a family in Alaska.
Yeah. I mean, you never know what hat God has in store.
That's true. I never do know. I never do know. He surprises me constantly.
Yeah.
Usually in the shower, which is like the most random thoughts. And I'm like, God, get out of here.
You're just a little perv.
Excuse me. I told you. Don't appear. Stop coming in here as a dove. I hate it. The Holy Spirit. I think that's how that works, right? One of them
is
a bird.
Always.
There is
a bird.
There's God.
There's God.
Omniscient.
The guy.
The Jesus is the guy.
Okay, sure.
And then there is the Holy Trinity. There's the bird. We went to church.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I have to say my
oh, your sources.
Yes.
I hope he finds what he's looking for.
Yeah, sorry. Sometimes I get distracted when I talk about God and things just get out of hand.
I just don't.
But I don't want to forget this part. So thank you to all of the amazing sources I used for this episode, including The Atlantic, NPR, like a lot of times NPR, The Washington Post, nature.com, uw.edu. Don't know what that is. Sorry, should have looked it up.
Is that University of Washington?
I don't know if it's University of Washington or if it's another university of some kind. It could be University of Washington. I don't remember being on a University of Washington website, but maybe I was. sites.uw.edu. That's all I got for you. Vox, PBS, history.com, which I think is the History Channel. APHA publications.org, The New York Times, The BBC, Miss Magazine.
Oh,
Mike. Mike.com, The Cut, The University of Vermont. I wrote that one down, but I forgot about the UW one, which is uvm.edu if you're interested.
Okay.
Go apply.
Great.
I'm sure the classes are starting soon.
But hurry up.
CBHD.org, Berkeley, Planned Parenthood, lots of Wikipedia, the CDC, and the San Francisco Gate.
Wowza.
There we are. That was it. Thank you so much for being here, Robin.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for making me sad again.
You're welcome. You know I love to do it to you. I can't wait to call you in 3 days and be like, your great aunt has died. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I have to bear the news. I'm the sadness coordinator in your life.
I've been directly contacted with another sad event to share with you. And thank you for listening, everyone else.
Yes, same for me as well.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Don't you just love that I did that to you right before you were going on a beautiful vacation?
You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is at Frisky History. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one. Anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, bye. Fuck you, Terry.